Hello, faith-filled entrepreneurs. If you are looking to align your life and business biblically, grow your business in wisdom, and walk boldly in faith, you, my friend, have come to the right place because we have the same goal and we can walk this journey together. My name is Jen Kleiber, founder of The Faith-Filled Entrepreneur, The Responsive Classroom, and Kleiber Investments. And my goal is to walk boldly forward in faith towards a Holy Spirit-led vision and biblical wisdom. And I'd love for you to come along with me. We need faith leading business more than ever. Hello, my faith-filled entrepreneur friends. I cannot believe that it is December. I have a little bit of a cold, so you'll have to excuse the way I sound right now, but I wanted to get this out to you because I'm really excited about this resource that I have for you, and you can get it absolutely free. It's called Evaluate 2023 to Elevate 2024. Now look, most of us, I would gather, are probably more in the creative space, whether it is that you actually create artistic things, or that you are a visionary, or that you are a writer, you create content. Most of us are probably not what we would call, you know, math people, logical thinkers, that kind of thing. However, it is so important. If you are operating your business in wisdom, and you are the CEO of your business, that you know your numbers and that you know what is working, you know what is not working, so that you can pivot. And the end of the year is the perfect time to do that. And so what this resource does and what we are going to do on this podcast episode is walk you through five different areas to evaluate before the new year comes. And if you're listening to this after the new year, then it's okay. You can still take a little bit of time and do this because it's going to help you set up 2024 better, right? So here are the five areas. I'm just going to tell you up front what we're going to do. We're going to evaluate your expenses, evaluate your revenue, evaluate your time, evaluate your technology, and evaluate your faith. So before we get started, there's a couple of things, okay? When you grab this resource and you download it, I'm going to recommend that you print it out and you start to do this exercise. I'm really going to encourage you to cover yourself in prayer. Why? Because sometimes this is not the easiest to do, right? Sometimes this can make us feel discouraged, or it could even make us feel prideful if we had a good year. And we want to make sure that we are evaluating our business through the lens of faith and obedience. And we just want to make sure that we are focused on being on the entrepreneurial journey with the Lord and that we're not trying to do it ourselves, right? We want to pray that we have an open, quiet mind for Him to speak wisdom into us. And we want to pray that that He would help us discern where He's trying to lead us, right? And then we also want to take time to give thanksgiving where He has shown up faithful and where His provision has been. So while this is definitely an exercise to figure out your numbers and to be operating from a place of wisdom, we never want to go through these exercises on our own, right? So before we even talk about it right here, I'm going to pray for us. Heavenly Father, first of all, I just thank You for calling us into Your purpose, for choosing us as Your children and for equipping us to do Your will. So whether that is through a business or a ministry or a conversation with our neighbor, Lord, we know that You want to use us and we want to be available to that. So as we go through these, I pray that You would speak through me, that You would calm our minds, quiet our minds, and that we would just be available to You, that we would surrender our thoughts and our plans and our expectations, because we know that what You want to do through us and for Your kingdom is bigger than we can ask and imagine. We thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let's dive in. So the first thing that you're going to need to do is reconcile your books. Now, you can do this one of two ways. You can do it yourself, Or you can have a bookkeeper do it. If you do it yourself, highly recommend getting a software. It is just really difficult to try to keep track of things on your own. I use QuickBooks. This is fairly simple way to do it. It does take a little bit of time. If you can stay on top of it, you could probably reconcile your monthly books in about 15 minutes, but I don't always stay on top of it. So I find myself reconciling several months at a time. But if this is not a practice that you are in, you need to be in this practice. This is just a step of wisdom. And so I'd love to talk to you about how to do that. So the first few steps, as we're looking at our expenses and our revenue, you really need to have your books reconciled so that you're not just going off of what you think you made or what you think you spent, but you have that data in front of you. Okay, so the first thing that you want to, that we want to ask ourselves is what were our main expenses? So this is anything that cost money and went towards the business. This could be meals or car expenses. If you contracted anybody, if you have employees, any supplies that you bought, courses that you bought, books that you bought, anything like that is going to count as an expense. So you want to write down what your main expenses were here. The next question that you want to ask yourself is what percentage of your monthly and yearly revenue went to your expenses? So it's a good goal to shoot for less than 30%. So that means that if you made $100,000 in revenue, that you really don't want to have more than $30,000 in expenses. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, when you're getting started, I don't think that this is possible. I think that when you're in a place of really learning and growing, and you got to figure things out, it is very realistic to not have that margin. And that's okay. We just want to be aware of it, right? If you're in year 10 of your business and you still have 80% of your revenues being expenses, then we probably need to work some things out there. We need to figure that out. In this resource, I give you a formula that you can use to figure out those percentage of expenses, but that's just going to help you, especially in planning for next year, because we never want to just be shooting from the hip when we are buying things, purchasing things, hiring people. We want to make sure that we keep our margins good there. Okay, the next question that you want to ask yourself is what was your biggest ROI? Now, ROI is your return on your investment. So this question is asking which financial investment brought you the most income. So for example, did you hire a coach and that in turn helped you to make a decision that brought you in income, right? Did you buy a course that taught you a skill that you were really able to capitalize on? So we just want to think like what financial investment brought us the most return for our investment. It might be that you decided to invest in a CRM and that has helped you to grow an email list, or it's helped you to keep track of your sales, keep track of your contacts so you have been able to bring in more sales that way. So it's just for you to kind of take a second and be reflective on where you spent your money and where you got the most return on your investment. Okay, so we've talked about where we got the most ROI. Now we want to talk about where we got the least ROI. So although not every expense directly leads to a financial return, it's always good to figure out what didn't. So I'll give you an example. In my business a few years ago, we went on a cold sales call campaign where we took materials and we drove to school, different schools and school districts, and we dropped off those materials. We tried to set up a time to meet. This was not a successful campaign. It did not work for getting in front of the decision makers at the schools. It was quite costly in materials, and it was also quite costly in travel. And so that was not something, because it didn't bring in any ROI, we didn't want to keep doing that type of campaign. Does that make sense? So we just want to be cognizant of that. Okay, are there any Expenses, the next question, thinking about expenses, we always want to think, is there any place where I can cut back on? Something small, I had an eFax account. It wasn't a lot, and the reason I had it was because a lot of bids for school districts want you to have a fax machine, but really people are doing things through email now anyways. They don't need to be able to fax purchase orders to you or anything. And so after I went 6 months without actually ever using that, when I kind of took note of my expenses, that was an expense that I could get rid of, right? There was a membership I was a part of that was helpful to me at the beginning. Then I kind of realized that my values didn't align to the owners of these member of this membership. And quite frankly, I forgot that I even had it. And so I could go in there and cancel that membership. So this is where we just want to look at where can we cut back on our expenses, if any. And then because we know that having a business, you have to invest. You have to invest in yourself. You have to have a marketing budget. I suggest everybody have a coach in some way, shape, or form. And so maybe this is the year that you're wanting to get a coach. And so you're saying, I want to invest in that. And so we want to take a minute to kind of plan ahead and say, investment or expense do I want to have in 2024, right? Maybe you want to hire a virtual assistant. Maybe you want a new camera. Maybe you want to do a course this year. So it's good to think, okay, where are my expenses in 2023? Where can I cut back? And then maybe where do I want to invest moving forward? Okay, so now we want to move to, we thought about our expenses, we evaluated our expenses. Now we want to move on to our revenue. So the first question that we want to think about is what product or service brought you in the most revenue? And if you have multiple products and services, I want you to think about your top three and I want you to write them down with what revenue they actually brought in. Okay. And then I want you to write down what product or service brought you in the least revenue. I've put a lot of things out there that did not bring in revenue. Some of those things I repurposed into other content. Some of those things I combined into another course. Some of those things I used as lead magnets or freebies. And some of them I ditched and just said, this wasn't what my audience was looking for. And so we want to really be cognizant. We want to streamline our business. We don't want to have 1,000 products if not all of them are what our audience is looking for. So you're going to write down the top three that brought you in revenue and what those were and the ones that came in last. Okay. Okay. So then we move on to our time. Y'all, this was not something that I've always done in my business, but I think that this is really important to evaluate where our time was spent. And so as we move on to evaluating our time, I ask you to list out your daily, weekly, and monthly activities. Now, you don't have to do all of them, right? But if every month you're putting out a podcast, every month you're putting out a blog, every week you're putting out a newsletter or an email, every day you're making posts, like this is very time consuming. And so it's good to just evaluate where our time is being spent, right? The second part of that question then is to go back to our ROI. What activities that you wrote down that you're doing on a consistent basis are bringing you in the most ROI, right? Now, I'm not saying that every single task or activity that you do is directly going to relate to a sale, because it doesn't always, and sometimes it's hard to track that, right? But I'll give you this example. Last year, I decided to try to upload all of my podcast episodes onto YouTube. YouTube is a fabulous platform. And if you have a YouTube channel and it's doing well, Congratulations to you. I think that's awesome. And I'm not saying that I won't circle back to it again. But let me tell you what ended up taking so much time. What ended up taking up so much time was that I had to have makeup on and my hair done before I recorded the podcast. And I don't do that every day. Okay. And then on top of that, I then had to upload it to the YouTube channel. And all of this just ended up being more time consuming than I wanted it to, because I was not growing that YouTube channel and I was not getting any leads off of the YouTube channel. So because of that, even if it was only, you know, a few hours here and there, I wasn't getting ROI on it. And so it was not a good use of my time. Does that make sense? Okay. It might be a good use of your time. You may find that you're getting leads from your YouTube channel, that your YouTube channel is growing, and that it is worth it for you to put out those videos. And that's awesome, especially if you have like a how-to type business, like how to make something or how to plan something or how to meal prep or, you know, something like that. Like a YouTube channel may be where your bread and butter is. It was not for mine. And so I needed to evaluate, is this worth my time? After you have listed out the activities, I encourage you to go in and put an asterisk next to the move the needle activities, which means these things are actually bringing growth to my business. These tasks are bringing growth to my business, right? Because that's where we are going to want to spend the most amount of time. If you feel like you're going in 100 different directions, this activity is going to help you. This exercise is going to help you streamline that a little bit better. Now, again, I'm not saying that every activity has to have direct sales, right? If you are doing a podcast, and it's hard for you to see if that's leading to direct sales, but you're getting a lot of leads from it and you're getting a lot of engagement from it, and you can record one podcast and then build a lot of short form content off of that, then that's going to be worth your time, right? So you have to use wisdom as you are doing this, but I think it's good to just have a snapshot of where your time is being spent. Okay, so after you've listed out all of your tasks, I encourage you to go back and look at those and kind of do a reflection on it. Is there anything that you can cut out? Draw a line through it. Is there anything that you can delegate? Put a check mark. Maybe it's the year to hire a virtual assistant. Is there something that you need to do more of? Right? When you see, hey, when I... most of my sales are coming from emails, I've got to be better at emails, or I need to do better at nurture campaigns, or I need to go back through my funnels and I need to build out better nurture campaigns, because the majority of my sales are coming from emails, not from social media. Then this helps you decide, again, where to spend your time and energy. Now, I say this on the resource, and I'm going to say this again here. I want to encourage you to spend some time with the Holy Spirit before you go through this activity, because I found that when I get quiet and listen, God is ready to help me prioritize. We all have this same number of hours in the day, and if we are not getting through our to-do list in a day, then we have put things on that to-do list that God doesn't want on there. He knows how many hours He gives us in a day. He's the creator of it, right? So if we're not getting through things, then that means we've put things on there that He doesn't want on there. So I definitely encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit to give you discernment and give you wisdom on this before you go through this activity. Lean into Him, right? If you are feeling that He's saying no more, that the season is over for this, then walk in faith on that. Okay, number four. We are going to evaluate our technology. Now, if you are like me, and I, you know, if you are, I pray for you.
Your technology is a hot mess. You have your Canva is a mess, your emails. I don't know. I think I have 10,000 unread emails, which I know stresses some of you out. I have thousands of videos on my videos and photos on my phone, the majority of which are not of people. They're of things that I have screenshotted or that I want to save for later, that I don't end up using because I forget that I have them on there. Maybe you have a Dropbox, your desktop, anything, right? Take time, give yourself grace and time to go through there, unsubscribe to emails that you're not, you know, to businesses that you are not involved with anymore, delete photos that you don't have, create folders for things, create folders on your Google Drive, create folders on your desktop, create folders on your phone, and get organized. Don't start 2024 not being organized. I don't know about y'all, but I spend a lot of time looking for things on Canva, scrolling through my photos to try to find things. And if I had a bit more organization on those things in my tech world, I would save time there. And so the least that I can do is make sure that I'm starting the new year with a clean slate and with my technology organized. So spend a little bit of time and do that. Sometimes I use trips to do this. If I'm in the car for a while, my husband's driving, I will spend time organizing things. But I want to encourage you to set aside a couple of hours to do this. Okay, and then the last piece of this is evaluate your faith. We cannot overlook this as faith-filled entrepreneurs. And it is easy to get in the weeds of the business where we're just, you know, our head is down and we're just working, working, working. We're working in the business, not on the business. And we can forget where God has been faithful. We can forget where we took steps of faith and we saw his provision or his faithfulness, even if it didn't look like what we thought it was going to be. So this just gives you a minute to be reflective on that, right? So many times in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, I mean, the whole reason that Jesus had dinner with the 12 disciples before he was crucified, you know, he said, take this bread and remember me, take this wine, remember me. In the Old Testament, God tells Joshua to, you know, take rocks out of the river and build a monument so that he could remember, that the people would remember God's faithfulness. And the same is for us, right? He knows we're going to forget unless we have a way to remember it. So before 2024 starts, evaluate God's faithfulness and your obedience in 2023. Here are some questions to help you with that. Number one, where did you take steps of obedience? Did God ask you to start something and you did? Did he ask you to pivot and you did? Did he ask you to have a conversation with somebody and you did? Did he ask you to be generous and you were? Where were you obedient in 2023? Number two, where did God prove his faithfulness and provision? Were there times where you thought, I just don't know how this is going to work out? And it did. You know, maybe not in the way that you thought it was going to, but you're still standing and your business is still standing because God was faithful. Were there any times when you limited God, when you thought too small or you let fear get in the way? Maybe you put something off for too long. Maybe you had doubt and so you didn't move forward with it. And then what are you still praying about? Where do you need to continue to trust him? I always want to start these prayers off by first telling God that I'm surrendered to him and second by telling him that I trust him. And then I try to quiet my heart, quiet my mind, and let him guide me in that. And so this is an opportunity for you to just spend some time with God, telling him that you trust him, telling him that you love him, and telling him that you are available to him in 2024. So I hope that this was helpful. Again, I don't expect you to be able to do all of this off of the podcast. You can download this resource, Evaluate 2023 to Elevate 2024. You can get it in the show notes. You can get it in on the social media posts. You can get it on the website, thefaithfilledentrepreneur.com. But I just cannot encourage you enough, even if these kinds of questions aren't super fun for you, to act in wisdom and to take time to do it. And if you have a team, do it with your team. If you have if you have a bookkeeper, get that information from that bookkeeper so that you can really start 2024 in faith and wisdom. And the last thing that I want to say is that in this resource, I gave you, let's see, 8 different verses for you to pray over your business, for you to lean into as you continue to work on your business. But I want to leave you with one, and that's Isaiah 43:18-19. And it's where God says, "But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do, for I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness, and I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. So I want to just leave you with that no matter what 2023 held, and no matter what the journey for 2024 is going to look like, the most encouraging thing to me is that it's not about me. It's about God and what He is going to do. And I just want to be available to that. And I know that you do too. So I hope that this episode was helpful to you. Please subscribe to this podcast, download it, share it with your other faith-filled entrepreneur friends. We need faith leading business more than ever. And don't forget to download that free resource today so that you can get ready for 2024. Bye for now, friends.